The first segment aired Friday, June 23rd. Welcome to the Washington Page. I'm Sally Hart, on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, I'm speaking with local historian Michael Zaz, who's the subject of a new documentary called Saving Brenton, featuring the Brenton Films. This is part one of a three-part interview.
You're recently back from Washington, D.C., and we see some of the memorabilia from your trip. And one thing that stands out to me is your name tag, Michael Zaz, Saving Brenton, film subject. Do you think in your lifetime you would ever see that?
Never. And being a guest of the festival, I got to do whatever I wanted in the festival priority because I was the subject of one of the films. And so that was special. And people would recognize me and come up and talk or whatever. It was not something an old junior high teacher ever expected to do.
And just to clarify for our listeners, what was shown in Washington, D.C. wasn't what we've seen locally. It's not your presentation of the films.
What we did in Washington, we had the world premiere of the documentary film Saving Brenton. A film crew from Iowa City has followed me around for almost 4 years. And they have, I don't know, 300 or 400 hours of film. They distilled that down to an hour and a half of film. It showcases Washington, Washington County, Iowa, and it follows my journey with the Brenton Collection. And they've done a marvelous job of putting together something that is very, very Iowa-centered. And I wasn't sure how it would go on the East Coast when they don't even know where Iowa is. And they really liked it. At this American Film Institute Film Festival, there were 2,100 films entered in the festival. By jurying that, they start in October watching films and then getting it down to the final number. So by the time we were there this last weekend, there were 102 films shown. And to even be selected out of 2,100 down to 102 was just unbelievable. And the film people there at the festival were so nice. They liked the film so much. And one of the selection committee said, "Your film is why people come to film festivals." And it wasn't as heavy as a lot of the films, and I think that kind of helped it.
And can you tell us what was written?
I didn't understand how this happened either, but we got a lot of advanced publicity in Washington, D.C. Out of the 102 films, we had a major radio time on KTOP, which is a very large radio station in Washington, D.C., and they run a number of spots. The Washington Post had advance material about the film. The Washington Times had a review in advance. And some of what they said, while it's impossible to see all the 102 films at the festival, here are a few to keep on your radar. And it listed three, and Saving Brenton was the second one. So people were very impressed with it. They enjoyed it. They liked the message in it. And they liked the fact that the State Theater is the longest running theater in the world. That was mentioned a lot. And I don't know, they were very kind. There was a lot. I'm the main character in the film for some reason, but they talked about me as sporting a beard worthy of Methuselah. And they said it was a noble mission, is to both save earliest films and to bolster the town of Washington. And it's very important to be cognizant of our own history. And that is a fact that makes us human, is some of what they wrote. So they were very, very kind.
Do you think this could drum up some tourism?
Well, hopefully. That's been one of the goals from the beginning. We were the only film at the festival that sold out to each performance and get a standing ovation. And it was the most requested ticket for the whole festival. That just amazes me because there were a number of local films, but Saving Brenton was the one that got the most attention. And we would have a question and answer period after the film. And one of the questions was, I remember from a lady, and she said, "And this is in Iowa?" And my comment, I was maybe a little short, but she took it well. And I said, you know, in Iowa, we never got that question. I said, we're the most entertaining state in the United States. And in many, many ways, we are. And most of the country doesn't realize that, which is good because we don't want them all here. But I said, Washington County, Iowa, 20,000 people. There have been over 70 buildings built in this county for the purpose of entertainment. That's a lot for a county of 20,000 people. I think Brighton has had 10 different buildings that functioned as opera houses. Well, I don't know whether Washington, D.C. had that many. You know, we just are a different people. And it was kind of fun to have people kind of realize that. And they were so nice and followed us around and wanted pictures taken with us and autographs and things that, you know, don't usually happen to junior high teachers.
That's been today's Washington Page with local historian Michael Zaz speaking about the new documentary, Saving Brenton, which premiered in Washington, D.C. last week. This is part one of a three-part interview. I'm Sally Hart with KCII News. Welcome to the Washington Page. I'm Sally Hart, on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, I'm speaking with local historian Michael Zaz, who's the subject of Saving Brenton, a documentary that premiered in Washington, D.C. just a few weeks ago. This is part two of a two-part interview.
After one of the showings, you had a chance to relax and get some dinner, and you had a small world moment.
We were, after the second screening, we were kind of relieved and such, and we went to a restaurant that was recommended, and we were eating outside. And Washington, D.C. had the same weather there as what we've been having here, but we were eating outside and just kind of relaxing, and somebody knocked on the window from inside the restaurant, and it was one of my former students that was there. So we just ran into a lot of people, and a lot of people made a big effort to be there when we were showing the film. Because it was in the local papers, people who were local students saw it and came. And it was just so much fun to see them.
And how does that feel as a teacher to see them as an adult, making the time to come see you?
Yeah, it's wonderful that they would still remember that I actually had been part of their past. But it was great. Julie and I truly enjoyed our time there. We got to meet a lot of people. The filmmakers, which are John Richard, Tom Haynes, and Andrew Sherburn, they're all from Iowa City. And this is their first film at this level. And they were being congratulated by people who had Oscars. And, you know, it was great to watch their response, because I think it was even more than what they had expected. And it was just was wonderful. We had also taken the Brenton projector to Washington, D.C., the one that we used in the extravaganza here, and we showed color films on the hand crank projector from 1905. And I said, why take this projector out there? It's not an easy task. Let's just use one from the Library of Congress or the Smithsonian or something. Well, that's why we took it out, because they don't really have them. So we were showing people things that was part of their history, too, and it was special. People would ask if they could take a picture of the projector. And I remember one young man who was just about to graduate in film from college, and he asked if he could take a picture. And I said, why don't I take a picture of you cranking the projector? Well, it was just, he could hardly get his breath. You know, we were with some fabulous film people, and the impression was far, far better than I ever expected. The Washington Times, in their article, just really was complimentary on all sides of it. The Washington Post, their critic, wasn't able to see the film while we were there, but she's going to do a review in the paper this week about it. And so I'm anxious to see.
And I think we would be missing something if we didn't talk about the music. Can you tell us what went into that?
We used music as much as we... Well, I didn't do the film, and I tried very, very much not to even suggest things in the film, but the film guys used a lot of the music that we used when we did the movies with Red Cedar Chamber music. And Red Cedar is one of probably the biggest thing that caused all of this to happen. but they use music from Red Cedar Chamber Music. But one of the things that was kind of exciting, again, for an old teacher was they found some music that they wanted to use at the beginning and at the end during the credits and the title frames that they thought just kind of fit the whole topic. And they thought I would really like it. And I said, well, it doesn't make any difference, but you pick what you want. And they said they knew the composer. And I said, oh, really? And who was it? And it was one of my former students that they didn't know that. And they'd picked his music. Ben Ramsey from here in Washington had composed and performed music that's part of the film. And that just made it even more special.
That's been today's Washington Page with local historian Michael Zaz talking about the documentary Saving Brenton, which features him and the Brenton Films. This is part two of a three-part interview. Welcome to the Washington Page. I'm Sally Hart, on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, I wrap up my conversation with local historian Michael Zaz, talking about the Brenton Films and the documentary in which he's a subject called Saving Brenton. It recently premiered in Washington, D.C. at the American Film Institute's Film Festival. This is part three of a three-part interview.
Going back 4 years ago, how did this come about, to create a documentary about the Brenton Films and the man who rescued them?
Well, it was about 4 years ago this summer. I had worked a lot with Red Cedar Chamber Music, which is out of Marion, Iowa. And they had wanted to put music to some of the films and the Magic Lantern slides. They had worked with John Richard, who was just a world-class photographer from Iowa City, who also does some documentaries. So he was taking some publicity pictures for Red Cedar. And I met him, and they started talking about the films. And then Humanities Iowa, Tim Johnson was part of Humanities Iowa. He's from here in Washington. And he knew what was going on a little bit, and he talked to two other filmmakers, and so the three of them got together. It just kind of happened. It wasn't maybe supposed to, but it just kind of happened. And it's just been a joyous experience. The filmmakers have kind of been part of our family for the last almost 4 years. I would email them my schedule for the upcoming week, and I never knew where they would show up, but I was someplace at an office talking to somebody, and the film guys popped up out of the cubicle next by and filmed. But it's just been very, very rewarding and wonderful. And because of this, now we have very good connections that will be showing it all across the United States and maybe even in Europe. So it's good for Iowa. It's good for Washington.
And can you tell us what it was like for you the first time to watch the documentary?
I cried all the way through it. It's hard to see yourself up on the big screen, or at least it is me. And I knew what came before and what came after each scene. And there were some pretty personal times that were filmed. And my mother's in the film, and she's been gone for 2.5 years. And there was just a lot of things that wouldn't necessarily affect other people that way, but affected me that way.
What's the next step? Is it going to be shown locally?
We're working to get it shown locally. We want to show it at the State Theater. And because that's where Mr. Brenton managed. So we're hoping to get date or dates there soon. But size-wise, we'll show it there, but we'll probably show it maybe at the community center or something also, because I think there's a lot of people who have been involved with it, that have helped with it, that knew we were filming. There's a lot of footage from Washington's 175th, from the extravaganza at the state, there's a lot of local people that'll see themselves in the film.
And the State Theater overwent, you know, a facelift during this whole process.
It went a facelift. We got the marquee. It was named the longest running movie theater in the world. And that was all kind of an outgrowth of this whole process. So there have been a lot of exciting things that have been part of this. And hopefully when we get a date, which hopefully will be soon, that people will come out and see it, because I think they'll be pleased how Washington looks.
over the last few summers, even before the documentary was made, you had some films shown in Ainsworth. Is that going to happen again?
We will, the last Friday and Saturday of July, we will have a film festival at Ainsworth at the Opera House. And I haven't decided just what we'll show there this year. We will not show the documentary because I'm not able to do that, but we may show some selections from it and some films that have been identified in the collection that we haven't used before. We're learning more about it all the time. I just had a program at the University of Iowa on Tuesday night after we just got back from Washington, D.C., and there were librarians from all over the United States at a convention. And they said, well, they'll come and go. It's a two-hour slot. They'll just be coming and going. So I thought, well, good. We'll be able to reuse material. People came and stayed the whole 2 hours, so I couldn't reuse anything. But it's something that we're so close to it that I don't think we understand how much of a worldwide importance it is and how much it's part of everybody's history. And even if you're not interested in film, it shows what people were like 120 years ago. And hopefully 120 years from now, there'll be something that'll showcase us like we're showcasing people from then.
That's been today's Washington Page with local historian Michael Zaws talking about Saving Brenton, a documentary about Zaws and the Brenton films. This is the third part of a three-part interview. Hear the whole segment at kciiradio.com. I'm Sally Hart. The following segment of this series aired August 31st. 4 years of filming a retired teacher and his century-old films from the Brenton Collection has been developed into an 87-minute documentary called Saving Brenton. The film follows the story of Michael Zaws as he shares the history of Frank and Indiana Brenton. Saving Brenton was made by filmmakers Tommy Haynes, John Richard, and Andrew Sherburn. Haynes shares his favorite moment in the film.
It's kind of all comes to fruition here at the State Theater. Mike brings back the old Frank Brenton hand crank projector and hand cranks that at the extravaganza at the State Theater and showing the original Frank Brenton films that were turned into color films, 35 millimeter color films, back restored. And so it was great to see Mike there in the theater, the shadows kicking off of his face, and the light kicking off his face. Yeah, it was a nice moment to see all of that. Mike's been pushing Frank Brenton and trying to celebrate Frank Brenton for, you know, almost 30 years. And so this was a big moment for all of us, but to see that for Mike was very special for us.
Sherburn says the film doesn't only follow Zaws and Brenton, but showcases Washington County with many local people in it.
Part of the goal that we had all along was to show Mike's life and Mike's Iowa. I mean, Washington County is very much the place where he lives, and he told us, I think the first week we met him, that history is half geography. It was always important to show off Washington County as part of the film, and there's plenty of it. I think people will get a glimpse of that all over the country when we screen this film. They'll have a better understanding, I think, of what rural Iowa looks like, as well as, you know, with the city of Washington. I think people will be pleasantly surprised. Too often, I think the imagery of the Midwest that people on the coasts get is, you know, maybe pokes a little fun at Iowa or maybe shows a cities in decay. But I think this film will present something much different. It's a vibrant place. Culture is still very much alive here, and community is very much alive. And a lot of that has to do with people like Mike and the many other people in this community that really care about their community and their history.
Saving Brenton premiered at two sold-out shows at the American Film Institute Film Festival in Washington, D.C. this June. The first stop of Saving Brenton on its Iowa tour is the State Theater in Washington. Tickets for the Washington shows on September 17th and 18th can be purchased at the State Theater or on the theater's website. The next segment was a story that aired September 18th, followed by its full interview segment the next day. The gold curtain was pulled up and the screen's opening scene was a man standing in a snowy day in Iowa with his dog named Tuesday. Saving Brenton premiered at Washington State Theater Sunday afternoon. The 87-minute documentary follows local historian Michael Zaws as he shares the Frank and Indiana Brenton early film collection that he saved decades ago, the same week he was married. Ahead of the red carpet event, KCII News spoke with Zaws about how he felt premiering the film where Brenton showed some of the first films Iowans ever saw.
Movies started to be shown here in 1896, and Frank Britton was doing shows here probably as early as 1893, but not movies, of course, because they weren't invented yet. And then he became manager of this building. And so it is the heart of this whole project in the Grand Opera House State Theater. From the beginning, I said this is where it was going to be. You know, there wasn't any other place that it really could be and have the significance of what it is here. But people are starting to figure it out, because I forget how many different towns they said they had requests today for tickets. So that's exciting.
The project took nearly 4 years of filming by Andrew Sherburn, Tommy Haynes, and John Richard to document the journey that included many settings in Washington County and as far away as France and Italy. Haynes was excited for the event.
Well, it's pretty special. I mean, this is where Frank Britton used to show his films. So for us to be premiering here in Iowa at the State Theater, it's pretty amazing. And the fact that the community's responding like this is fantastic.
Both Sunday and Monday showings at the State Theater were sold out, and an encore show will be held Saturday, September 30th at 10 a.m. Visit kciiradio.com to see all of the stops the documentary has scheduled across the Midwest. Welcome to the Washington Page. I'm Sally Hart, on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, we take a look at the sold-out premiere of Saving Brenton at Washington State Theater. Before popcorn was popped and a ceremonious ribbon cutting was held on the stage, I spoke with filmmaker Tommy Haynes.
Well, it's pretty special. I mean, this is where Frank Britton used to show his films. So for us to be premiering here in Iowa at the State Theater, it's pretty amazing. And the fact that the community's responding like this is fantastic.
And we talked a couple weeks ago about how you had to cut all of that film down to 87 minutes.
Yeah.
What's it going to be like during those 87 minutes for you?
Well, it'll be really interesting to see the reaction of the crowd here, because this movie's about them. It's about Washington County, about Washington. So it'll be a little bit nerve-wracking, but it'll be a lot of fun just to see where people are laughing, what people are getting emotionally attached to. And so, yeah, it should be an interesting 87 minutes.
I also caught up with subject of the documentary, Mike Zaws, about an hour ahead of the screening. As we looked at the red, blue, and yellow marquee with a red carpet rolled out underneath, we spoke.
To be able to see sold out up there is fantastic, because that's the first time that these people have ever been able to put up sold out, and for both performances. It's exciting. People keep asking me, am I nervous? And I thought I wasn't, but I'm sort of a little bit, because we've been having people come up all day and want tickets.
And seeing that sold out, does it really resonate, you think, with the community then, how big this really is?
I don't think so. I think we're too close to home to have people understand it. But the theater's been having calls from all over the area today for tickets. It's a big deal, and we're not making it a big deal. It is a big deal. And it's just hard to get local people to understand that. And that's the way it should be, I think.
And this place is pretty special when it comes to the whole big picture of the project. Can you kind of tie that together for us?
Well, this building was built in 1893 as an opera house. It was also the first building in Iowa built air conditioned. So it's got some historic significance on its own. Movies started to be shown here in 1896. And Frank Britton was doing shows here probably as early as 1893, but not movies, of course, because they weren't invented yet. And then he became manager of this building. And so it is the heart of this whole project. Grand Opera House State Theater. From the beginning, I said this is where it was going to be. You know, there wasn't any other place that it really could be and have the significance of what it is here. But people are starting to figure it out, because I forget how many different towns they said they had requests today for tickets. So that's exciting.
And those folks will have a chance to catch it elsewhere in Iowa, is that correct?
Online, Saving Brenton online will have a listing of where we'll be. From here, our next showing's at Iowa State University. And after that, we'll be a week in Iowa City. And while we're in Iowa City, we'll have two performances a day there.
Even though the documentary is done, it's still a busy time for you.
Right, and there are people here that will be filming this. So I guess maybe it just doesn't end.
So you're having a relaxing retirement.
Oh, sure. But it's the best retirement I've ever had. It's exciting. I didn't expect to be doing any of this. And I get to see so many people that I haven't seen for a long time. You know, this starts at 4. We had people here an hour and a half ago
waiting to get in for a 4 o'clock show. You know, that's just special.
Filmmakers Haynes, Andrew Sherburn, and John Richard, along with Zaz and his wife Julie, arrived by limousine at the theater.
Please welcome filmmaker Andrew Sherburn. And Michael and Julie Zaz.
The crowd then took their seats. Patty Kohler, former president of the Washington County Riverboat Foundation, introduced the show.
The story that you're about to see began 120 years ago in this very theater when Frank Britton first showed his moving pictures to a Washington audience. And now there's no better place to return and honor the story of how this story has been preserved. Washington County Riverboat Foundation granted over $200,000 to fund this movie and the preservation of the historic film. The foundation's belief was that Washington County had a big story to tell, and Hollywood wasn't coming around to tell it, so we would have to do it ourselves. The grants were helpful and a necessary part, but the story would not have been told. Perseverance of Iowa historian extraordinaire, myself.
Thank you. The emphasis today should be on these three gentlemen, because they're the ones that made the story. But I want to thank this community for supporting them in their 4 years of filming and supporting me for my life, because it's been a great place to have spent my life teaching many of you, and thank you for coming today.
The film opens on a snowy Iowa day with Zaz and his dog Tuesday. He shows the camera the bedroom turned Brinton storeroom, piled from floor to ceiling with artifacts. The documentary follows the journey of Zaz giving presentations on the Brintons, showing the pieces to the University of Iowa Special Collections, meeting with a George Millais expert, finding lost Millais films among the collection, sharing films as nearby as the annual festival in Ainsworth to a festival in Italy. But the 87 minutes doesn't only show Frank Brinton's world, it shows Mike Zaz, including planting trees on his family's multi-generational farm, visiting classrooms, meeting with local Mennonite and Amish communities, and saying goodbye to his mother, including part of the eulogy he gave. What the caterpillar perceives as the end, the butterfly only perceives as the beginning. The premiere wrapped up with a discovered Millais film from the collection that hadn't publicly been shown since 1904, titled The Wonderful Rose Tree, only found because of Zaz's efforts to save Brinton. An encore showing of Saving Brinton will be held at the State Theater September 30th. That's been today's Washington page at the premiere of Saving Brinton. To see photos from the premiere, visit KCII Radio's Facebook page. I'm Sally Hart. The final interview of this series aired December 13th and 14th. Welcome to the Washington page. I'm Sally Hart, on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, I'm speaking with local historian Michael Zaz about Saving Brinton, the documentary that follows Zaz and his journey to get the Brinton films recognized. The documentary recently returned from the Anchorage International Film Festival in Alaska, where it received both the Audience Choice Award and Best Documentary. This is part one of a two-part interview. It has been a busy fall for you ever since Saving Brinton premiered at the State Theater here in Washington. Can you give us kind of a highlight of some of the places you've gone and you've taken this film about the Brintons and Washington?
Well, we had the premiere here in Washington in September, and we've pretty much been on the road since. After September here in Washington, we've been to 9 cities in Iowa. It ran for 3 weeks in Iowa City, sold more tickets than any other documentary at the theater in Iowa City. Many of the dates were sold out. It ran 2 weeks in Des Moines, ran 2 weeks in Minneapolis with 4 shows a day. We've been to Madison, St. Louis, Houston, New York City, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We sold out in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We sold out in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And last week we returned from Anchorage.
And do you have a favorite place that you've been to? I know that's hard to say.
they treat us really well. Houston and Anchorage probably were the two places that were really amazing. The room that we stayed in Houston cost more per night than I paid for my house.
Wow.
And so it was a world that I don't normally enter into, but it's been fun. Anchorage was great. The sun came up at 11 and set at 2:30. And it's a different world, but they've treated us really well everywhere we've been.
And you mentioned that there have been many sold-out performances. Why do you think that's the case? Why does it resonate with an audience?
Well, I understand after they've seen it, but it's hard for me to understand in advance. It kind of depends on how it's promoted, but a lot of documentaries are very serious, very important, very socially responsible. Ours is some of that, but it's also just kind of fun. And I think that is something that people, especially the way some of the things are happening in the world, they just kind of want to come out of something and feel good. And this kind of does. And it identifies so many people back to small town and to the Midwest. And that's a real strong pull. We've had Iowa people at every showing. Out of the 39 screenings I've been to, I've had former students or parents of former students in 36 of the 39. And that's just amazed me. Even when we were in Anchorage, we had people from Columbus Junction in the audience.
That's incredible.
It's just amazing. But I think Iowa people support Iowa, and that's just been very joyful.
And it's part of their history.
Right, right. So many people that grew up in not urban America see their home in this film.
That's been today's Washington Page for KCII, speaking with local historian Michael Zaws about the documentary Saving Brenton, which focuses on Zaws and the journey to get the Brenton films recognized. This is part one of a two-part interview. I'm Sally Hart. Welcome to the Washington Page. I'm Sally Hart, on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, I'm speaking with local historian Michael Zaws about Saving Brenton, the documentary that focuses on Zaws and the journey to get the Brenton films restored and recognized. The documentary recently returned from the Anchorage International Film Festival in Alaska, where it received both the Audience Choice Award and Best Documentary. Zaws gives an update on where the documentary has been since it premiered in Washington in September. This is part two of a two-part interview.
So many people that grew up in not urban America see their home in this film. Whether it's Pennsylvania or Ohio or Nebraska, people see things that are very special to them.
And that was one thing I noticed when I watched the film was you see the seasons, you know,
right,
and the everyday life, not just the historical journey that these films have taken.
And when we were in New York City, and New York, or the Doc NYC Festival is a very big festival. And we premiered there we were in Greenwich Village. And afterwards, the Film Department of the State of Iowa hosted a reception for us in conjunction with the University of Iowa. And they picked the Ainsworth Cafe to have this because so much of this has centered around Ainsworth. Lots of Iowa people there. And it was just a really great evening. Donna Reed, who is the first Iowan to win an Academy Award, her daughter was there and invited us to show the film at her theater in Denison, which we'll probably do at some point. But it just excited Iowa people, and that has just been so much fun.
And if there were people in the community who weren't able to see the premiere when it was here in Washington or to catch the show when it was in Iowa City, they have a chance soon.
Yeah, this hasn't really been publicized yet because it just happened. But we will be showing the film on December 26th at the Washington Community Center at the fairgrounds at 7 o'clock in the evening. And that'll be the last local showing for some time. And so it'll be a chance for people to view the film if they haven't, or see it again if they wish, or for out-of-town people to see it. It won't be just like seeing it in the State Theater, but it's not possible to show it in the theater. So we're going to show it out at the fairgrounds, and it should be a very special night.
And we talked a little bit ahead of time. It's a great Christmas gift.
Right. The tickets will be available in several locations. Right now, I know they'll be available at the Chamber of Commerce, at Jones Funeral Home, and the Hills Bank. And so you can get tickets ahead of time and give them as Christmas gifts if you wish.
And do you have any special plans for the holidays? Do you get a break from travel?
We have no more film showings until the 26th. And then in January, we start again. We can't announce details yet, but we'll be taking the film to Europe for a tour there.
That's been today's Washington Page with local historian Michael Zaz giving an update on where Saving Brenton has taken Washington. This is part two of a two-part interview. I'm Sally Hart with KCII News.